Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tjena, hur mår ni? Välkommen. I dag skal vi prata om Young Royals.
Yay! Hi guys, welcome to Lovecast the BL podcast. I'm your host Alexa, and today with me I have my co-hosts Pixie and Kayla.
Hey.
So we are here for a deep dive. And this week we're doing a little bit something different with our deep dive because we are going to be covering all three seasons of the Swedish show Young Royals. So just to get into a little synopsis before we really jump into things, because we have a lot to talk about with this show. So to put it simply, Young Royals tells the story of Wilhelm, who is one of the royals of Sweden, eventually becomes the crown prince of Sweden, and Simone, who is a fellow student at his boarding school, who he meets, and they eventually fall in love. So the show kind of navigates their blossoming feelings for each other over the course of a year, and kind of shows how that is impacted by Ville's role as a member of the royal family and all of the complications that come with that. So, yeah. The show just finished its 3-season run the other week, and I feel like it's a show that we've all had a lot of feelings about over the years, so we felt like we had to sit down and spend some time talking about the show as a whole. I mean, we've done reviews in the past. I think, did we do a review of season 2 on our Patreon?
I feel like we did season 1.
Did we do season 1? We did one of the seasons, at least, on our Patreon as a short review, but we've never done, like, a real heavy deep dive into this, so we figured with the show ending, now was the right time, and there's a lot that I feel like we want to talk about, and so to prevent this episode from ending up being, like, 2 hours long, I feel like we should probably just jump into some of our thoughts about it.
Yeah.
So, the first point that we always start with is kind of like the overall story in terms of plot and writing, from a more general sense, what we feel about it.
Yeah. So, for me, like, the general premise of the story isn't, like, I've never cared too much about, like, the princess plot thing. I've never wanted to be a princess. It's never been in my thing. So I never really cared about, like, stories like that, but I do have, like, a kind of problem with stories that frame, like, Cinderella, that frame, like, okay, you're gonna meet the prince, you're gonna get together with prince, and everything is gonna be honky-dory and fantastic and everything like that. I have a problem with that. So I love that this, you have the, like, the classic plot of, like, the prince and the commoner, but they've made it political and very true to the political climate in Scandinavia around the royal families. It's stuff like that we see in Norway too, around comments of the monarch. I have never been invested in it, so yeah, but I do see it, like people's opinions about it and stuff. And yeah, I they like did like this modern commentary that is very realistic, which I liked.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at face value, like when you're going into it, and if you read the synopsis, you could just say, okay, it's going to be like a fairy tale romance story, but gay, which like that in and of itself would have its own merits, because like that kind of stuff doesn't really exist. So, you know, even if it was just that, it would have been cool to see in some element. But I think like making it something that was so much more talking about politics and the monarchy and race and family and all the different stuff that they covered in the show, I think just elevated it to something that was like beyond what anyone really expected of it, I feel. Especially like Netflix, you know, can be very hit or miss with the way they approach shows. So I think, you know, having something like this coming out of Netflix and having it be so impactful was like really unexpected, but a very pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Can I just also say that, like, you can't get away with not comparing it to Red, White, and Royal Blue.
That's true.
And while I did like that movie, I think that Young Royals did it better, because Red, White, and Royal Blue is more of like the, it's more of like the fairy tale thing, and the drama they have is more around them being gay than being royal. Versus, like, okay, he's the president's son, so he's kind of royal in his own
American
place.
Royal.
yeah, right. So it's not the same thing, but like, it's very shallow. The Red, White, and Royal Blue storyline compared to Young Royals, which is going like dares to express itself.
Yeah, and I think that's like what Red, White, and Royal Blue was like always was, like even in book form. So to like, even though they have similar plot points, I think they're very different like genres, which is fair. But yeah, I think people definitely probably compare them, especially now that the movie version of Red, White, and Royal Blue has come out.
They do have their own space. Like, there's nothing wrong with Red, White, and Royal Blue having like this sort of fairy tale thing going, but like I said, like, it's I just feel like I can relate and enjoy more a story that's a little more in depth, like there's more heart to it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get that for sure. And I think that also is like the benefit of doing a show as opposed to a movie. Like, not to derail this into Red, White, and Royal Blue, but I think one of the big complaints I saw about it is that people were like, this should have been like a show, like a special show or something like that, to give it more.
Yeah.
And I think Young Royals having how many, 18 episodes, because it was six each season, allowed them to go a lot deeper. And also, like, they made the conscious choice to cap it at a time that felt right. And that's something I really appreciate about the show, like capping it at three seasons when I'm sure they easily had the popularity to do more. So like, they kind of like were working in a time frame that was able to tell the story that they wanted to in the depth that they wanted to, which I think makes a big difference.
I feel with a lot of Scandinavians TV shows made in Scandinavia, they go into it with a plan for how many seasons they need to finish it and what the story is going to be, and they leave it at that. They're not like pushing it too far, at least.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Hollywood TV shows.
Yeah. No, definitely. And that's something I've always appreciated about like European media. It's like the seasons are short and they know what they want to do and they do it. But yeah, so I think that's something that really helped the writing and everything that made Young Royals special. Like, they kind of went in with the vision, executed that vision, and were like, okay, that's the end. Like, this is where we want to end the story, so we're ending it here. And I think that was the right thing to do with Wiley and Simone's story.
Yeah. I literally agree with all of that. when I think about just, like, I guess the way that the story is written throughout all three seasons, the first thing I think of is everyone's character development. Because mm-hmm. in some respect, everyone started off as like a different person than they are currently in the third season. Like, obviously, we see that with Willem slowly becoming more, I guess, just like conscious of his privilege and the world that he lives in. And mm-hmm. he's always known what's expected of him. But I don't think he truly realized like the price that he would have to pay being a royal and what him being with someone who is a commoner would mean for, I don't know, that it would seem like hypocritical in a way yeah. to everything that his family stands for. Mm-hmm. So obviously I think of Willy as the first character who has really gone through just like a transformation of how he used to be, how he used to think, to now where he I guess gives more, he's more mindful of I guess just the way that the world actually is and not just mm-hmm. how it is for the wealthy people and the royals. Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Ville always had like this whole, in the beginning he was sort of like the partying and all the fighting and everything was because he was rebelling, because he wanted to be his own person. Like, he wanted to make his own choice, not based off like what his family thinks he has to do and everything like that. But he comes to a point where he's actually starting to make his own choices and he didn't realize what that meant and had to work mm-hmm. through that to mm-hmm. get to where he is at the end, where he finally makes a choice for himself, mm-hmm. not what Simon believes, not what his mom believes, what he actually believes.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like the Willy we met at the beginning, who was like partying and fighting and felt like he didn't care about anything, was because he felt like there was no reason, because mm-hmm. he felt like even though at that point he was not the crown prince, like there was still so much limitation on how much he could do for himself. So obviously him acting out and getting into fights, going out to clubs, doing all the stuff he was doing, I think was, it's a very like stereotypical way of like rebelling when you feel like you don't have your own sense of self. You're like, well, what the fuck does it matter anyways? Like, you mm-hmm. know, if I do this, my family will just cover it up or paint it over nicely. Mm-hmm. No one will ever know the true reason why I did these things, because no one ever really knows the true me. So I feel like that was 100% why he acted that way. And then meeting Simone and kind of being confronted for the first time by like genuine feelings that he has for himself that no one, I mean, before it came out, no one was really controlling those. And like, he was just like genuinely allowed to explore these feelings that he never really expected, that no one else had expected for him to have. Cause obviously I don't think his family ever expected that he would end up queer, you know, or come mm-hmm. out as queer or realize he was queer. So being allowed to, for the short period that he was, like, explore that with Simone without any interruption from the royal family kind of started him on that journey of wanting to make more decisions for himself. 'Cause I don't think he ever wanted to be a royal. Like, I think he was just kind of accepted it as what his choice was, and he was prepared to live mm-hmm. that life because Eric was going to be the one who was in the spotlight. But then the combination of Eric dying and him falling in love with Simone kind of like started him on this trajectory of actually trying to find himself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I, mm-hmm. I think also like if it wasn't for what August did, mm-hmm. he might have been in the mind frame that he could give it away, all everything away to mm-hmm. August from the beginning, but because of the trash bag he is.
Before the end, he was literally only keeping, like, he only was going to continue to be the crown prince out of spite. Like, he didn't want it. It was literally out of spite because of mm-hmm. what August did and refusing to give August that satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And this is something we can talk about later more in the finale. I think the downfall of Eric as the perfect brother in season 3 mm-hmm. and how August played into all of that was kind of like what snapped for Willa and allowed him to kind of like disconnect all of that like hatred that was jumbled together. But yeah, 100%, he was only sticking with it out of spite for most of the show, I feel like.
Yeah. 100%. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, so in kind of like that same sense of like character development, I feel like obviously Simone is someone who we've seen go through a lot of ups and downs over the season, and kind of coming to him being the person who was always more openly himself and kind of having to navigate being told to tone that down for the royal family, and trying to navigate like wanting to appease Willa's family because he loves him versus not wanting to lose himself in the things that he was passionate about and the things that were important to him politically and stuff like that. And kind of in the same way that I feel like Willa made a big choice in the final episode, Simone made that big choice in the fifth episode with the breakup, and kind of I feel like that was the first time he really chose himself, and was like fully choosing himself, because I think in the past when things had kind of fallen apart, there were a lot of external factors. But in that moment, it was Simone seeing Willa, and I think Willa's outburst was very much needed, but seeing Willa in that way and like seeing what the entirety of like the past year had done to him, like really just like knocked something into Simone and like caused him to make that choice.
Yeah, I mean, they were bouncing off each other the whole like last season and just going back and forth and just arguing or making up. And it's very telling that it's because they don't know themselves that this is happening. Like they can't communicate their needs or wants or whatever to each other because they don't know. Because they're not taking responsibility for themselves and their own feelings and their own self.
Yeah.
I almost feel like Simone had like, not like anti or reverse character development, but it was really sad seeing him kind of like be the more outspoken one. And then in the final season, there are so many moments where he just like, kind of submits. He's always just like, it's okay, I'll do that, and this he doesn't ever really fight back. It's almost like he's just like worn down and he can't fight anymore.
Then I feel like that's where the breakup came from, because I feel like he finally, and I don't even know if he truly realized that he had been suppressing himself so much, but I feel like in that moment of seeing like all of Willa's emotional baggage kind of explode, I feel like that was when Simone was really hit with the reality of everything and kind of triggered that choice. And I feel like, unfortunately, we didn't really get to see a lot of like how Simone coped from the fallout of that, aside from like knowing he was sad and he wasn't really over Willa ever. But yeah, I think that in the end, like, I don't know. Did he break up with Willa for himself, or did he break up with Willa for Willa in episode 5? I feel like I'm kind of jumping around here, but now that I'm talking about it, I'm like, did he do that for himself? Like, was that a moment of him choosing himself?
I think it might have been a little bit of both. But I think mainly it was himself, that when he got like separated from his need to protect Sarah, he also like started searching for who he was now that he wasn't protecting her, and trying to figure that out, and his relationship with Willa was just making things like more confusing and more complicated. So like there's no way there was any other direction to go in, right?
Yeah, and I feel like the online hate, just like the massive online hate, was really getting to him, and he probably felt like the only way to stop it is to distance himself from the royal family, especially because for the longest time, they were doing nothing to protect him or his family. That was so they, he was just like thrown to the wolves, like
essentially until Ville said something, and it took Ville a long time to say something.
The fact that Ville was not understanding how Simon felt being harassed like that was driving me crazy. Like, he, as a royal who's gone through this his entire life, should have some sort of empathy to, like, the shit that gets thrown at you for something like this. And it's not, like, it's not good enough to say, just don't look at it.
Yeah.
No.
It's interesting because he did bring that up multiple times that, like, you know, this is something my family just deals with as royals. But I feel like as a royal family, they have so many protections in place to prevent them from ever seeing probably the worst of shit that is said about them. And Simon didn't have that protection. Like we said, it was just him faring for himself, like reading these comments about himself every day. And Ville being so oblivious to how much it was impacting him, and just thinking about how the royal court was seeing. And I don't blame Ville entirely, because he was getting a lot of pressure from the other end to kind of tell Simone not to do these things. But I feel like because of that, he never took a step back to reflect on what that was actually doing to Simone. And even when Simone was finding like good things to focus on, like that adorable little child with his little pride flag pin who like came up and asked him for a picture, like not even getting to keep that moment as a good thing because of the way it looked to the royal court and because of the political happenings that were going on in the background. So I think that's always been, you know, I was thinking of what, this is kind of jumping around again, but what Sarah said to August in the finale when she was like, I see you, but you've never really seen me. I feel like that also kind of applies to Simone and Ville, because I feel like Simone has always seen Ville in a way that other people haven't. And that's why Ville is so attached to keeping that relationship with Simone. But because of Ville's privilege for a long time, I don't know that he ever has truly, ever truly saw Simone the way Simone needed him to, you know?
So
it's a very like complex situation. And I've been watching this one reactor who I always enjoy the reactions to the show, but you know, he says like, is it worth it for like these, they're 16 and 17 at the time, you're, they're like, is it worth it for them to really put themselves through all this just for a relationship that this happened over the course of one school year, like not even a full year. It's been like, I mean, I don't know how long Swedish school years are, but all of this that they've gone through in the course of what, like 9 to 10 months is like, is it truly worth it? And I feel like that's a question that I kind of want to come back to in the end. But yeah, I feel like, oh my gosh, we have so much to get through still, but I feel like in terms of writing, we have to talk about August as well, because like,
oh my God,
why did I have such complicated feelings about August in the final season?
Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I'm on the August train.
Like, why did season three make me feel for him?
Dude, August had a lot of growth.
Yeah.
Like the August in the beginning that was on the arms of Felice. And just how he acted and just like the privilege and the games and the like outward appearance to the world. Like, dude was an utter trash bag. And I do understand, like, you get context in the last season.
Yeah,
you
I think that's a big part of it. You get the letter
that explains why he acted like that, because he didn't want to feel, like, small and outcast. And he wanted to be in. And he felt sort of like, But I do, I have some complicated feelings, because on one hand, I do think they kind of redeemed him by the end of the season. At the same time, when I think back at what he actually did, I do not want that boy to be redeemed in any way.
That's why I was like fighting it the whole time. I was like, why am I feeling like one of the first scenes that made me cry in the finale was that scene between August and Ville at the party when they were talking about like the everything with Eric, and like August like finally apologized, and like something about that scene just like, it was like halfway through the finale at that point, but that was the thing that set off the waterworks in me. But really, I feel like getting the context for why August was the way he was and knowing what he went through at his initiation and the fact that so much of his personality was trying to come back from that and make sure he never felt that way again, I feel like did a lot for his character. And I feel like the way that they wrote him and having that be revealed at this point in the series was like really well done, because I'm like, I feel like everyone went in ready to say fuck August forever, like fuck that guy, I want him to throw him off a cliff, you know, but like they wrote him really strategically.
Yeah, and I think it helped that they didn't like give him the happy ending with Sarah.
Agreed.
Yeah, I was so glad that they didn't end up together. And I thought that was also a good choice for Sarah, kind of choosing herself and also like choosing Felice and her friendship with Felice, that I feel like she realized how, like she said, how much more Felice meant to her and Simone meant to her than August ever did, which like kind of sucked for August to hear, but like it was really like, I'm really glad she said that in that moment.
Honestly.
And I think she needed to she didn't realize that for herself like until that moment, I think, and so like her saying that was really significant. But yeah, I think the reality of like him not ending up with Sarah, it's like in some ways he got what he wanted, because inevitably now he is going to be the heir to the throne, but he also loses a lot in taking on that position. And I think he kind of had that moment of realization in the finale when he saw Ville running away, and I feel like he kind of had that moment of like, oh shit, like this is real now. And like with his friends being like, you being the official heir is like a bad thing, and like him kind of like never really processing that. I don't want to talk about Vincent.
I hate his friends, honestly. It's like he is trying so hard the whole last season to like grow up, and they just keep holding him back and being Vincent like, why do you want this? And I'm like, because he wants to be a better person. That's why. Because he doesn't want to spend his life just like partying and being awful. Like,
I mean, but they did build up this whole thing to like frame it that August got his due. He's got his punishment basically by becoming the heir.
Yeah, for real.
On the monarch. Like, he has to, like, it's not a good job or job. Yeah,
100%. And I think in the end, like, for the people who hated August to the very end, which is valid, 100%. Him taking on that position is like the greatest punishment that could happen to August.
I feel like
him loving the monarchy so much for so long as like someone who was just outside of it, and now he's going to be on the inside and realize what it actually is, and that's going to suck for him to come to that realization and know that now he is the only option. Like, it is him. Like, I mean, I guess there's someone else in line somewhere that they'll find, but like, it is him now, like, you know. So it's gonna be interesting to imagine what August's future looks like. All right, so jumping into some of the themes that the show tackles, we kind of touched on Ville kind of developing his sense of self over the three seasons, but I feel like one of the ways, and Heather noted this in the run sheet, one of the ways that that is really shown through is his anxiety and how he handles like these anxiety attacks and the waves of anxiety that come to him as stuff about his future gets more real. Because like in the first season, you know, he has these breakdowns a lot, you know, he's suffering from anxiety attacks, he's really struggling handling what his future is going to be. And I think over the course of three seasons, we see him kind of, I don't know if he learns how to handle his anxiety or if he just kind of tapers it down because he has no choice. But like, we see very little of, I mean, there are a couple moments where, you know, his mom is sick and he thinks about what that might mean for him. So he freaks out a little bit and throws his phone and kind of like has that moment. But compared to first season Villay, who was, you know, throwing stuff and breaking things, he's like very different in the way he handles his anxiety.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the worse his mom is getting, the steadier he is getting, right? And it's such a contrast when you think about it, like, throughout the last season. Like, his mom is just getting worse and worse, and he is getting steady. Like, he's not, a lot of it is him pushing it down. But in earlier seasons, he couldn't even do that. Like, he had no control over those emotions and stuff. So him just, like, handling things shows growth. Even though he hasn't figured everything out. But yeah, I find it interesting how that contrast is. Because the queen is, like, so steady. And throughout, like, the first and second season, she's super steady and super firm in what she believes.
Almost emotionless.
And, yeah, like, very cold. She's not dealing with what has happened. She is just being the queen, right? And the second it starts, coming in, she just loses it. And she sort of forgets that she has another son. Which is crazy, but she's having mental issues, so I mean, I can't fault her, but at the same time, she needed, but I think it's interesting, like, Villes talk to them about, like, how they're not acting like parents, that they needed that to wake up from everything. It's very well done. I just like, it's very tied together. Neat.
Yeah. It's interesting that I didn't even think about how you pointed out that as, like, his mom kind of starts to have a breakdown and kind of gets worse and worse, like, we see Villay kind of, like, I don't know. I feel like at a certain point, he almost becomes emotionless, like, because he's realizing that now, like, he doesn't really have that choice. And I think that kind of factors back in again to that, like, ending moment of him finally, even factors into his outburst at his birthday party.
Yeah, right.
I feel like that was when it really exploded.
Yeah, because he tells them that, what about me? Like, how am I, like, allowed to feel anything about what is happening here? Like, why are you breaking apart and not letting me feel anything?
Right. Yeah. And even, like every time they were sitting at the dinner party, like, his mom would mention Eric. And this was coming off of the back of Villay kind of getting the realization about Eric being involved in that initiation. And so kind of, like, hearing his mom and his dad kind of, like, keep putting Eric on that pedestal. Like, Eric was so good at the piano. Eric always did this perfectly. While they were sitting at Villay's birthday party, like, not even talking about Villay. Like, his face every time that would happen, I was just like, oh, felt for him so bad. Then, like, that finally being the catalyst for that, like, outburst of everything was just
Honestly, I feel like Villay was really driven by his fear that something bad would happen to his mom if he didn't try to, like, get everything together. Like, not just his anxiety, but, like, that he could, I guess, wheel Simone in so that he wouldn't do anything controversial anymore. Like, I feel like he literally felt like it was his mom's life on the line if he didn't just act out accordingly, I guess.
He sort of became the parent, right?
Yeah.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah. I think he even asked to his dad at one point on the phone, like, if it was his fault that his mom was like that, alluding to, if, like, the fact that he came out about Simone at the ceremony was like his the reason that his mom had a breakdown. So he definitely, I think, felt a lot of guilt around that. And I think he still, even though they told him it wasn't, I think he still to some degree felt like it was his fault that she kind of had a breakdown, because him coming out added so much stress on a political level to what they were already dealing with. So I do think he felt a lot of guilt there. And that probably also, like Kayla was saying, was one of the reasons why he felt like he had no choice but to kind of do what they were asking of him and kind of like walk that line very tightly, or at least try to, when it came to reeling Simone in and everything that was going on there.
Yeah. Can I also say, like, there's a lot of disappointing father figures in this show. Like,
his dad was like nothing. He was not. He was not a person.
Nothing. Like, typical dad. No personality. Vanilla person you will ever meet, and it was so frustrating. And the same with like Simone and Sarah's dad, who is just like train wreck. Not like putting his like out. His action isn't matching his words, right? And he's just like, there's always like an excuse for everything. And it's just like, take responsibility for your own actions, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so annoying. Like, there's, I can't remember seeing one single like father figure actually stepping up to the plate in this show. Like,
there really isn't. No. Unless you count August's stepdad being his lawyer and defending him. True father figure who will defend you when you...
Oh, no, but that man... Oh, God, don't get me started.
Oh. But no, yeah, I feel like in terms of parental figures, like, Linda, Simone and Sarah's mom was truly the only, like... I mean, I understand... Ville's mom. I understand the queen from a lot of perspectives, but I feel like I really sympathize for the way Ville felt like his parents treated him. So I had a lot of frustrations with her. But like Linda was just like, she was the realest one. Like she was genuine, like just cared about her kids and was there for them through everything, which I don't think any of the other parents in the show can say.
Yeah. I do think at some point she gets a little bit naive.
Oh, she's 100%, yeah.
But and all the like the tests that she keeps giving Simone for drugs. It's just like that's kind of overreacting to a point. Yeah, he lied to you, but at the same time, it's complicated.
Yeah. I think she acted a lot out of fear. Yeah.
But at least she's acting like a parent. Like, the queen is acting like the queen. The king is, like, is he even a king?
I don't know.
He's just a man.
He's just a guy. He's just a guy.
He's just a guy that hangs around, and he happens to be...
married to the queen.
Ville's dad. He's basically just Ville's dad. Like, that's...
Barely.
And he's barely that, yeah. No, oh God. There's a lot of strong female characters, which I appreciate. I mean, like the woman at the school.
Oh, like the acting principal?
Yes. Love her. Love the boundaries. I love her. and the bodyguard.
I love the bodyguard.
She didn't have a lot of screen time, but I'm so here for it. Like, that's a girl crush, okay?
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some good female characters written in there. I mean, I think Felice's journey, like, to kind of jump ahead a little bit, was one of the big parts of season three. Kind of Felice, I feel like they've always kind of hinted at throughout the seasons, the levels of like racial microaggressions that Felice is faced with going to that school and being one of the only Black people. I mean, I saw some more like Black extras this season, but obviously she's the only significant black character who's named in the show. And I feel like they've always kind of like had those hints of it throughout the seasons. But I think this is the season Felice kind of really was able to put a name to it and realize like what she was experiencing, and also realize that like no one else at the school really gives a fuck because they're all white and they will never understand.
It's very relevant to today's society in Scandinavia in general, because Scandinavians are so convinced that they are, they're not racists, that they don't see the micro racism because it's not in your face racism, right? So they think they just, no, we don't have a problem with racism. We love everyone here. So it's it felt very familiar to me.
Yeah, 100%. I think really when she tried to talk to her friends about it, and was talking about how, like, you know, the headmaster always asked me to put my hair up, but never you guys. Never and you. Her friends were like, oh, but you're beautiful. And she was like, that's not what I said. I feel like in that moment, she was really like, what the fuck? Like, who, what am I doing with these people? Like, why do I care so much about this school and this environment that has never really cared about me? And, you know, I think when you have a school like Hlaerska and a lot of like schools that are similar to that, there's a very much a pressure to put like, and I think this is the same with like universities and stuff like that too, put school pride over everything because we're a family and we love this school so much. And despite all the bad things that happen, this is the coolest place we could ever be. And like, it's okay to sweep things under the rug. For
boarding schools in Scandinavia, it's absolutely can be like that, especially like Hlaerska. But not as much for universities and stuff, like, not from my experience at least. Like, we don't have the typical American, what do you call it, pride, country pride, whatever, like the pride you see in America over everything, like the flag and stuff like that. We don't have that. Like, there's, it's not as in your phase. And I haven't like seen it for school pride or any like going to university, going to high school, whatever. I can guess that like private boarding schools probably have it a little bit differently, but there aren't many of them. But
no, that makes sense. But go ahead, Kayla.
No, I think just like even with a school that has like so much prestige, seeing that it's been something that's been going on for generations through Felice's dad, whenever she tried to kind of like pick his brain about what his experience was like at school, and he like casually said all these things like, oh, they would call me this, and like I would have to do this, and like I really stuck out, and basically saying that he had to like assimilate to fit in so that the people there, the white people, would accept him, was just really sad to see that that cycle continues.
Really got to me. I like had a real moment when I was watching this, and I was like, well, fuck.
Like, shut that school down. Shut it down.
Shut it down immediately. Shut it down. It needs to go.
But you see that like even in schools now, like with not like only with like black kids versus white, but you also see it just in general in like the teenage circles that everyone go like has the same shoes, everyone has the same purse, everyone has the same jacket. Like if you see pictures like of teenage Norwegian girls, like everyone long blonde hair, a Canada Goose jacket on, UGG boots.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Like, it's the same, like, it's a copy-paste, mm-hmm. and it's, mm-hmm. yeah, it's part of, like, the society. You're not supposed to stand out in yeah. Scandinavian society.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's also part of why everyone at the school always had an issue with Simone. Obviously, he's a working-class person, so mm-hmm. that was part of it, too. But the fact that, despite that, like, I think they, to an extent, would have been fine with him if he decided to assimilate into, like, the Halerska culture. But because yeah. he never really did and always kind of, like, questioned their traditions and the things they were doing, mm-hmm. was why, like, people like fucking Vincent, like, mm-hmm. never couldn't stand him. And I was thinking, like, oh, I wish we had gotten to see Felice and Simone, like, become actual friends, because I feel like the two of them together, mm-hmm. you know, like, they were close with each other because of Wilde, but I feel like we never really got to see them have, like, a one-on-one conversation, and it, yeah. it would have been, like, a whole, like, full-on storyline that I don't know that they would have had the time to go into, but I feel yeah. like being two people of color that are clearly, like, experiencing things that most of the student population has not and will not ever experience, I feel like they could have found a lot of community in each other, mm-hmm. and I feel like that would have been something that was cool to see, but I appreciate that they kind of let Felice kind of have that experience, because it's always something that they danced around, and I was wondering, like, are they ever going to get into this? And the fact that they did this season, and it was such a huge tipping point for Felice being honest about everything that happened at Halerska and stuff like that, like, I'm really glad that we finally got to see it kind of be addressed and see her kind of, like, make the choice that was the right choice for her, and I think in general, and, like, if she is the reason that the school got shut down, then I'm fucking glad. Like, good for you, girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, conspiracy. I thought that they were going to reveal that August was the one that talked
and shut the school down.
That's what yeah. I thought they were building up to, because every time someone would bring it up, like Vincent, August mm-hmm. would, like, go silent. Like, yeah. he would just, like, I mean, seem, like, guilty.
Yeah, he had the biggest, like, story to, but don't you think, like, he was the, like, without them actually saying it,
I feel like he, think, was. Like
he was. Was the biggest drive to why it got closed with the video and.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's definitely the video, a factor yeah. too. Yeah, I don't know that it, I mean, technically he was the one that filmed the video, but, like, no one ever really knew that it was him besides, like, the core group. So unknowingly, I feel like he is the reason that it all started. So technically yeah. it all started from his choice and that video yeah. getting released.
But I think,
so
like, he started realizing, like, the damage the school was doing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, he was taking ownership to what happened to him mm-hmm. and growing from that and realizing that they can't keep doing that to other people, because mm-hmm. what, like, Vincent and everyone was saying was, like, okay, like, we went through
it's
that
not
shit.
That bad. Yeah.
Now it's our mm-hmm. turn to make someone else go through mm-hmm. that shit. So let's continue. Like, mm-hmm. it's an evil circle.
They say it's not that bad, but then there was that scene where they all talked about how they were basically vowing that they would never do that to their group of freshmen that they're in charge of. So it must have been bad enough that you don't want anyone else to experience it.
Yeah. No. I feel like Vincent is one of the, like, the prime example of, like, the person who is so obsessed with their school and school pride that he literally will push everything else down, everything else away to kind of keep whatever, like, stake he has put in, like, that tradition. And, like, even, like, Nils to an extent, which I thought was interesting because, you know, Nils is a character who is also queer. And I feel like if you think about him going through that initiation, it adds a very different level to it than it would for other people. So even to hear him be, like, so still, like, gung-ho on the traditions, but I feel like he was kind of an example of someone who was like, I just need to keep quiet and follow along and just do what everyone thinks I should do until I'm out of here and can be, like, a more authentic self kind of person.
I think Vincent is one of the people who's gonna come out of school and just, like, be lost, because he was
he's a peaked in high school person, 100%.
What was I gonna say? The guy we were just talking about, I also thought that they were alluding to him having something going on with Eric.
Interesting. I have heard that, like, I feel like I brought this up when we reacted to the trailer, but one of the theories that I saw going around a lot was that Eric died because he was also queer and he couldn't handle the pressure, so he, like, committed suicide. That was, like, a fan theory that I saw going around a lot. So, like, I feel like him and Nils potentially having had something would, like, kind of cater into that theory. But yeah, Nils was an interesting character.
When it came to, like, Eric's death, I honestly have always felt like it was on purpose. Like, I've never felt like it was an accident.
What was it that he was, like, driving too fast? Is that, like, and he got in a car accident? Is that what it was? He, like, rounded a curve or something like that? I've always kind of had the same feeling, and I feel like season three kind of breaking down Eric as an like Villa's idol kind of plays into that theory immensely. And I think Villa kind of having to go through this whole secondary grief process almost, because obviously Eric died and he was grieving that to some extent, even though we kind of talked about how they didn't really have a choice, much time to grieve the way they should have. But he kind of had, like, resolved to, okay, put Eric on this pedestal as my brother, my idol, the person who always protected me, and I'm going to, you know, follow in his footsteps and be the crown prince that he would have been. But then realizing that Eric was a person who could potentially do something like force a bunch of people to watch porn that they did not consent to and make them get naked, and the idea that perhaps Eric thought that being gay is something less than, and would he have accepted Ville and Ville and Simon and Ville coming out, and Eric Ville kind of having to reckon with that and almost, like, grieve the Eric that he knew compared to, like, who Eric actually was a really, like, kind of playing into that theory of maybe everything around Eric's death wasn't, you know, as peachy as it could have been. Like, maybe it wasn't an accident. Maybe it was something he did on purpose.
I mean, it's really sad because Ville didn't know his brother. And that, like, shows how the relationship was even within the royal family, that Eric couldn't even be himself around his little own brother.
I think there was a lot of interesting stuff around his character. Like, you know, when it was revealed that he was taking part in those initiations, and Simon kind of came back and said, well, you know, maybe there was a certain level of peer pressure that he was experiencing that he couldn't say no to, or all these different things. I feel like just having Willy question everything about his brother in the final season. I personally think like that was the biggest reason that Willy was able to like choose himself in the end, because he was finally able to break down that idolization of Eric and have feeling like he has to follow in Eric's footsteps in that way. And I think the show kind of really did a good job of showing how Willy's desire to be, the crown prince was tied to his feelings around Eric and the need to follow in his footsteps. And to an extent, like we mentioned, keep that position from August. And I think that there was some like jealousy there, feeling like August knew his brother in a way he was never able to, kind of thing. So I think Eric played a really interesting role in the final season, and that reveal of like who Eric could have actually been was a really interesting part of the final season.
I also think it's interesting how August idolizes Eric. Like, even after all of that, it seems like he had a very almost kind of like toxic relationship with Eric, where he looked up to him and wanted to be with him, even though he did things that obviously really traumatized him and stayed with him. It's interesting.
Yeah. Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. Right. I think like Eric was his closest tie to the monarchy too. And so he felt like, first of all, like if he could be close to Eric and Hilarska, then that kind of protects him from a lot of the shit that he could have experienced, because obviously being the crown prince and Eric being a very different type of crown prince than Willy was, I think he was kind of like one of the big dogs at the school. So if I stay with him, then I'll be safe from anything like that initiation ever again. But also, like, at that time when they were both at Hilarska, that was August's tie to the royal family. So, you know, that was his way to kind of be as close to being an insider at that point that he could be. But yeah, I think it's very interesting that despite Eric being part of what he went through, he still idolized him so much to the very end. I feel like that's why that conversation with Willy and August in the final episode, like, that they were having in the, whatever the fuck, their little club, that room that their little club always hung out in, like, hit me so hard, because I feel like they were both kind of accepting these truths about what their relationship with Eric was and how that impacted their relationship with each other, in addition to many other things, and kind of forgiving each other to an extent, but also forgiving themselves. Like, it felt like a very big conversation had in like a very subtle way, which I really liked.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. All right, what else should we dive into?
I mean, we could talk for another hour about those.
I feel like there's still so much on our list that we haven't talked about, so I feel like I'm going to have to start jumping around a little bit. Like I said, maybe we need to do a part two eventually. I feel like there's still a lot we could say. Alrighty. So, yeah, let's jump into a little bit about, like, the acting and production, kind of touch on that stuff a little bit. So looking at the casting, obviously the leads were Edvin and Omar, and I don't know. I felt like I feel like it's like a really cheesy thing to say. I can't imagine anyone else having played these characters, but like they really just like embodied them perfectly. And I was reading like they both like did these long Instagram posts the other day about like saying goodbye to the characters. And I feel like it really hit me, like, how much those characters meant for both of them. Especially Omar talking about how, like, growing up as a young queer person, like, he tried to, like, tame himself down so much and kind of, like, hope that he would be normal one day. I feel like being able to see him kind of, like, reflect his own journey, and Simone also experiencing those things of having to, like, tone himself down as a queer person for slightly different reasons, but in a similar way. I think it's just, like, they really, like, you can tell how much they cared about the characters. Like, I don't think anyone loves Simone and Willy more than Omar and Edvin do. And I feel like that really reflects in how they played throughout the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I love that, I think we said this in our last review too, but I love that they casted them in the right age bracket.
Yeah.
Because that's not like an obvious thing, especially if you look at Hollywood, that's never happened. So I always appreciate them actually using kids to play kids, right?
Yeah, it's almost like they kind of like grow up with the characters too in that way. Mm-hmm. And I like that kind of ties into something I have like in the production category, but like the choice to use very minimal makeup on the cast and the actors mm-hmm. in the show, I think mm-hmm. also really adds to that element of, I mean, they are for the most part actual teenagers, but not like, you know, putting them in that like typical Hollywood perfection, perfect skin, you know, the makeup that we usually see kind of also mm-hmm. allowed them to keep the realism of actual teenagers playing these teenagers and like seeing acne and scars and birthmarks. It was mm-hmm. just like so monumental. And I love that was like a purposeful choice that they made throughout the show.
Yeah. And you can relate that to the Thai BLs and stuff that we watch too. Mm. The heavy makeup they put on.
And the airbrushing filters and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's just so bad. And it's bad for people watching, especially young people. Like, there's so much pressure on how you look. It needs to stop. So I love that they let these kids be kids and have the skin that kids have, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And even into like adulthood, like no one has like perfect skin unless you have a lot of money to have perfect skin.
100%, yeah. So yeah, I really appreciated that about the main characters and all of the cast, like everything looked like, you know, like the makeup that the girls had felt like makeup that teenage girls would do on themselves and like that kind of stuff. So I just felt like it added a lot of like realism to the show that I think really mm-hmm. helped with the kind of story that they wanted to tell.
Yeah. And I really liked, now I'm going into clothes again.
Of course. Pixie clothing segment.
No, because it's, if you pay attention, you can see the difference in like the clothes they wear, in what like class they're from.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like Willem is wearing a lot more expensive newer clothes and with all the other kids at Hillaska, while Sara and Simon are a lot more like, what do you call it?
They're like less preppy.
Right.
Toned down. Casual.
Yeah.
And you see it especially with Simon's friends.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not fashionable clothes they're wearing. Like, it's just, there's a lot of hoodies and dark clothes and it's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're dressing for like the practicality, whereas the students who have money are dressing to kind of show off their money,
carrying around like little bags and there was one scene in season three, I think it was in the beginning of episode 6, where they were like sitting out on the lawn and like Felice had her bag and she had like this big puffy jacket on and she had her sunglasses on, and I was like, girl, you were sitting next to the lake. Like, but like it really like it's kind of necessary in that environment. Like, I feel like showing off your wealth in that way is a factor of surviving there.
It's kind of interesting, like with Felice and Sara, when they are together, I feel like Felice isn't wearing as extravagant clothes as she would with her Hillaska friends, like her preppy friends. I kind of like started noticing, like, she's, even when she's with Villa, she doesn't dress up as much.
She's like letting down her barrier a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she doesn't have to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. And I feel like that's kind of like significant of like when the first episode of the season opened and, you know, she was feeling really depressed over having this falling out with Sarah, and she went down to breakfast, and like her friends commented like, oh, she's been wearing the same sweatpants for 2 days. Like, I wear the same sweatpants for like 3 weeks straight. Like, that's mental illness. Like, come on, y'all. But like, you know, like I feel like that really points out that, like, you know, Felice, God forbid, she's not wearing designer clothes for 2 days in a row, and her friends are like, we need to have an intervention. Like,
yeah. And I mean, the whole class thing, while, like, when they have dinner or whatever, they dress up.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah. I feel like that's also, like, part of Sarah's journey, too, which we're kind of jumping back into, like, character journeys. But, like, when she first went to Halerska, she very much, kind of opposite to Simone, felt that need to assimilate and like wanted to have the fancy dress for the dinners on whatever night, like their dinner nights, and felt very much like she needed to like buy into basically the Halerska I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, vibe, community, I guess, the kind of energy that they expect from their students. And then kind of everything fell out, and when she went back in season three, she was very much more like Sarah, who we knew before she kind of fell in. It's very like much like almost like a Mean Girls thing, like she became like she went on that journey that she tried to assimilate so much that she became those people, and then when she went back again, she was like actually like being her genuine self to an extent, you know.
It's like Little Jenny and Gossip Girl.
Yeah. That's a reference. God, I forgot about her, honestly, but you're right.
Dude, Gossip Girl is my Roman Empire.
I, you know, I love that for you. But yeah, no, I mean, just in general, kind of jumping back to, I think the main cast is really, really great. I love watching all of their contents. I was on like this deep dive into Molte, who plays August, like a lot of his contents. And I was like, how is he like the cutest person on earth? And like, he was really playing August. Like, you know, I was watching this video of him like reacting to like memes about August and stuff like that. And I'm just like... Such a good cast. I just generally have enjoyed watching all of their contents that they put out and stuff, and I think they all did a really great job with the show.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right. One of the other things I really wanted to touch on before we kind of jump into, I guess, like finale and wrap up thoughts, since we're moving on to over an hour here, the soundtrack, which I feel like is always one of the things that really stands out about Young Royals, is the soundtrack is so fucking good. Like, I haven't listened to the season 3 one yet, but the one from season 2, I had that playlist on repeat for like a month straight. Like, it's just so good.
Yeah, I just don't have anything to comment on this, because I can't even remember what the soundtrack is.
Really? You can't tell with them blasting EDM every opening? They, like, I think it's so funny how they'll have, like an EDM or hip-hop song, and then it'll lead into, like, the saddest scene you've ever seen.
Actually, though.
It's really funny, but it somehow works. Like, it just fits the vibe of the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, then, like, of course, they have, like, the original tracks that Omar does, like, the Simon song, Air Simone song, and... Willie's song this season, which I don't know if they put that out on Spotify or streaming yet, but I like his original songs too. And the other one that's like not even done by someone in the show, but it's like the one that has become the theme of the show, the one that's like, let's start a revolution. Like, that one is like the theme of the show, I feel like. And it's not, I think it's just like a random song that they included and just became so significant. Like, that's like the whole, I mean, I guess it ties in, because it's like the whole tagline of the show is like, let's start a revolution. But I had that song in my head like all the time. So yeah, I just felt like that's one of the things I feel like people mention about Young Royals a lot is that, like, they always knock it out of the park with the soundtrack. And even me, as someone who doesn't really listen to, like, a lot of EDM, like, in my typical listening, like, I will blast that shit when I am driving. Like, it's so good.
Dude, I just think that I'm so used to stuff like that I just don't notice it, honestly. Yeah. Like, that was my, like, teenage years right there. Like, the soundtrack Scandinavian EDM. Scandinavian EDM. Dude, you know how they do the whole ceremony with the hat and, mm-hmm. and the point gathering mm-hmm. and all of that? Yeah, Norway has a crazier version.
I think you've talked about it a little bit before. Yeah.
And EDM is a big part of that.
EDM culture for the Scandinavian youth.
Yeah, so I think actually our traditions around, like, graduating year is based off of roughly what they do in Denmark and Sweden, because we do have hats too, and we do have, like, a point system too, but it's not points, it's knots in the hat. Like, you have a string and you put knots on it if you do stuff. And there's a lot of crazy stuff. I don't know if you heard what they were doing.
Yeah, the one person was like, break his arm, like, tattoo Halershka forever on your arm and shit like that. Like,
have sex with a person, sex a teacher in year one.
Yeah.
Dude, like, have sex on a branch in a tree, run around the school naked. Like, there's so much. Like,
why does America have a wild party culture when you guys are out here doing shit like that in high school?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's just my high school experience, but, like, that sounds like a lot more like wild high school party culture than anything I ever experienced in America. Mm-hmm. I think it's just because we portray America that way in Hollywood that people just think we're actually like that.
Yeah, I mean, party culture in Scandinavia is a lot more than party culture in America. Like, I've experienced both, and the parties and I went to in America were tame, and I was partying with college people. You're and I'm just like, what is even this? Like,
Wisconsin.
Where's the party?
Partying not in Wisconsin. No offense to any Wisconsin listeners.
No offense to Americans, but if you want to have a good party, come to Scandinavia. I'm just saying. It's the only time Scandinavians will be friendly with you. Or each other. Not saying that, like, if we hate Americans, okay? That was not my point. My point was that we do not socialize with anyone at all. Unless we're drunk.
Fair point. Airplane. Yeah. Well,
no, it's great.
Okay.
I just had to bring this into it because I couldn't, like, let it go since it was in the season. And
yeah,
if I get chance to talk about party culture in Scandinavia, then I mean, I could do a whole episode on this.
I don't know how that's related to boys' love, right?
We need to make a BL just about that.
About party culture.
Yeah.
So you have an excuse to talk about it.
I'll get in touch with the director of Scam. Scam.
I mean, hey, we can make that collab happen. mm-hmm. Okay, so before we wrap up, since we are running a bit long, I feel like there's two mm-hmm. things in the finale that we really have to talk about. And of course, the first one is Ville's choice to abdicate from the throne in the end, which is, like, the literally, like, the biggest decision of his life that he could make at that point. Mm-hmm. I personally, like, I know for a lot of the season, like, it didn't seem like it would happen. But I personally was so fucking glad, because I think I said this in Discord, like, I would be so sad if the show ended with Ville feeling like he was trapped in the monarchy that he has never wanted since season one. And just felt like he had to do it out of spite or because he needed to appease his parents. So I was really so glad that it did end with him abdicating, even if it's not, like, I know people talk about, like, the realism of it all. But I think, you know, him making that choice and explicitly stating that it was a choice for himself, even to his parents, that it had nothing to do with Simone. Like, I think that was, like, the best way that Ville's character could have ended the show for me.
Yeah, I love that he went the way that, like, he said that, okay, I don't want to argue with you guys. This is not about being difficult. This is just, this is how I feel. This is what I want. That's it.
Yeah. And him specifically saying, like, if you want an heir to the throne, then, like, you want August, because he's the person that actually gives a fuck about any of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was interesting earlier where you, like, we said that Willy, it all almost feels like he's parenting his parents, because I very much felt that in that scene.
In that scene.
Where he just like, had
talking to... them through it.
Yeah. Like, he had to keep calming them down or being like, no, listen, listen. It was like a school teacher talking to kindergartners. And I just love that he ran after the car, because I wanted him to do that so badly. And I was like, just go. Mm-hmm. Just get out of the car. It was the whole thing satisfying. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, I feel like Simon was always the one sort of running after Villa. So it was great that you sort of see the reverse in the end. And it's just that's what leading to their life going forward. And it's like actually like manifesting, showing him taking, like taking, it's his choice. Like he's making for the first time a choice for himself.
Yeah, 100%. I think like the whole sequence was very satisfying to watch, and it being like the final like 10 minutes of the episode, because even in the moment where Willie saw Simon leaving the graduation, like he hesitated, but he still went back to his family in the end. So like those final 10 minutes where like he's sitting in the car and seeing everyone on the like little float or whatever the fuck they have going on, and he's just like, I don't want to do this. And he makes a choice like in that short period of time. I just think like it was just like so, I guess he realized how significant it was to him in that moment, the idea of like, especially with Hellerska shutting down potentially, like what is going to happen to my life if I never see these people again, like Simone, Felice, all these people that have been a significant part of my journey. What is going to happen in my life if I just continue on this path and go to the Prince school and do all these things over the summer and go to whatever school they're setting up for me. And just him being able to finally make that decision for himself in that, like that short split moment was just like,
And I think the talk to his parents was the most important for him to have like closure. Like, he wouldn't have gotten closure without actually expressing it out loud. And I think when he left and his mom, I think it was his mom, said that, let him go. That was also her letting go
Of
the situation that she was clawing to.
You know what's so funny is even in that moment, the dad was doing fucking nothing.
I am so triggered.
Sitting there with a goofy ass look on his face. Like,
he's been triggering me like the entire three seasons. His nothingness is like annoyed.
Offensive to you.
It is very offensive.
But I like that moment. And then also like Willie saying, I know I've said this in like emotional moments before and you haven't taken me seriously, but I'm saying it now in this moment, and like I need you to take me seriously. I really like that he, because he has expressed so many times that like he doesn't want this, and like it's very much been like, you'll get used to it, like you'll fall into the role, we'll get you caught up on things, and like no one has ever taken his feelings about it seriously. So like in that moment, in that confined space where he forced them to hear his feelings in a very like this is it. Like, this is the choice that I've made. Like, I really mm-hmm. appreciated that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The very final thing, which I feel like is, I don't know that it's controversial, but I think the point of contention this season is, do you feel that it was right that Simone and Wille ended up together? So I feel like a lot of the people who I feel like didn't like it felt like there wasn't enough, I guess, growth between them to a point of understanding each other. Like, they spent a lot of the season not being on the same page. So I think people kind of felt like maybe uh-huh. they just pigeonholed that happy ending moment. And honestly, like, mm-hmm. I kind of felt like I would feel the same way. But, like, in the moment when it happened, I was, like, so happy. I was like, thank fucking God mm-hmm. this happened. Because I realized I would have been yeah. so sad if it had ended any other way.
Yeah, it's all about closure. But to me, I take, like, this whole thing, I don't see it sort of as them ending up together. Mm. I see it as them getting to a point where they're starting their relationship.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Same, yeah. same. Same. And I feel that like them getting them getting together represented a lot more than mm-hmm. just, like, I guess, them being the romantically relationship itself. Together.
Yeah.
Like, it meant that there was maybe even going to be change or something mm-hmm. like that. With, I know, like, the whole final season, they were kind of pushing Wille to do some advocacy work. And there was that whole storyline about, like, Simone was like, you should do it for, like, something LGBT related. Mm. And Wille was like, I actually don't want to be an activist. I just want to, like, be myself. And that was, like, that was honestly yeah. kind of a big point of contention between mm-hmm. them, now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. just with all of that in mind, and just, like, the fact that there were so many people out there against them being together, because it's, like, how can the royalty be with the working class when they kind mm-hmm. of butt heads so much in all of their just everything from mm-hmm. like their viewpoints to legislation. I feel like them getting together represented just like a lot for the message of the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how yeah. else to put it. I don't know if that makes sense.
No.
Yeah, I do. Like the whole entire three seasons we've been told that with dealing with the monarchy you have no choice mm-hmm. in the matter. Like, there's been no choices at all. Like, this is how it is, this is what you have to do, right? And Wille has been forcing situations to be accepted, like him coming clean about the video, being him and taking accountability for the situation, is him, like, slowly moving away from that forced place that he is in, like, where he has no choice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like it's sort of like the ending just wraps everything up, that showing, like, him getting out of the stringency of the monarchy. Like, he is making a choice.
Yeah. Yeah, while you were saying that, I was kind of thinking about how, like, the tagline of the show was, like, you know, like, let's start a revolution or something about revolution. And I think mm-hmm. there was always this presumption with Wille being a royal that revolution was going to be something big. And especially when mm-hmm. he came out about the video, mm-hmm. that would kind of, you know, lead to a start of the revolution within the royal family. And Wille kind of, like, being, like, that advocate that was kind of expected mm-hmm. that he would be after coming out as queer and coming out in general, with Simone as his partner. But, like, in the end, the revolution just ended up being, like, Wille choosing himself and the possibility mm-hmm. of, like, whatever that means for him, whether mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. is being with Simone, whether that's a lifelong thing that they're together, but him just yep. having that choice and the possibilities mm-hmm. ahead of him, I feel like ended up being mm-hmm. like, at least for Wille as a character, like the revolution that the show was about, which is him choosing yeah. himself.
Yeah. And yeah. this isn't yeah. them riding into the sunset.
Like, they have
like the kind of were, so but
many, like,
physically they were riding into the happen? Sunset.
There is so much that's gonna happen after they get together. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so mm-hmm. much drama yet to come that we're not gonna be a part of.
There's a
of.
Lot that's still open-ended. Yeah.
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 And I can imagine, like, they were talking in the, like, the documentary episode, kind of, like, where mm-hmm. They were talking about, like, okay, let's come back 5 years later, yeah. 10 years later, mm-hmm. and do, like, can do a movie or something movie, about, yeah. oh, this is mm-hmm. Young Royals 10 years later, and where they ended up. And that could be a thing, because, mm-hmm. like, there's so much that could happen mm-hmm. after this.
Yeah.
But I like that it's sort of open-ended without it feeling open-ended, if
it's
you
like
know
a
what I mean.
It's like a happy open-ending. Like, nothing, yeah. not everything mm-hmm. is resolved, but you know that they're in a place where things can genuinely go well for them if they so choose, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I love that Felice was in the car and that she didn't fucking fuck off to New York with all of her yeah. friends and do whatever they were gonna do there. Like, when she got out of the car too, right? I was like, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's her growth, her understanding that she doesn't have to conform. She doesn't mm-hmm. have to do what her dad did, that just, like, ended up, like, he tried to be himself or whatever and then just ended up like everyone else, yeah. and she doesn't want that.
I think she realized that she has a lot more choice than he did at the time, which I don't know yeah. how old her mm-hmm. dad was supposed to be. I presume he was at Alershka in like the 90s or something. Mm-hmm. I fucking know. Mm-hmm. but even that compared to being in where she is in 2024 is like, she has more of a choice than he was ever afforded. Mm-hmm. And she chose to use that in a way that was, like, right for her. And I think, mm-hmm. like, I was just so happy when I saw her in the car at the end and, you know, choosing herself as well in a way. So,
yeah. And yeah. I'm glad they sort of didn't, like, force a relationship on her.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, okay. Like,
yeah, her journey was about her. Yeah.
Yeah. There didn't have to be a guy in it, like, mm-hmm. or a girl, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Friendship. Like, I love that they also, like, put this, like, really enhancement on friendship as well. Like, love comes in so many different, like, family love, friendship love, and relationship love, right? So yeah. it's great to see, like, all of these different aspects of a life, which mm-hmm. is our lives. Like, mm-hmm. we do have love in all those places, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, it's wild to think, like, I said this earlier, but that all of this took place in the span of, like, one school year. Like, it started right. with them first getting to Halershka and ended at the end of the school year. And I'm like,
yeah,
these kids have gone through so much. And, like, mm-hmm. this is just, like, such a tiny blip out of, like, their whole life. And so I think, you know, even though, like, they weren't metaphorically riding off into the sunset, I feel like the physicality of them, like, kind of just, like, driving down this road with so much open ahead of them speaks to, like, all the possibility that they could have in their futures.
Yeah.
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 All right. Well, I feel like there was a lot more that we could have said. Maybe we'll have to revisit Young Royals again in another episode down the line and talk about some more of this.
Let us know if you want us to talk about this in that. More.
Because we will.
We will. But,
for now, that's all for our deep dive into Young Royals as a whole, all of the three seasons. I feel like Young Royals has been a really special project that we've all really enjoyed following along with over the last 3 years. And it's sad to see it end, but I'm glad we could all kind of leave it with overwhelmingly positive feelings about the story, because it's not always easy for that to happen. And I'm glad that it ended in a way that we could feel happy with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Let us know your thoughts about the third season, about the finale, about the show as a whole. There's a lot to talk about. So, you know, like Pixie said, let us know if you want to hear us talk about it some more. But mm-hmm. drop a comment in the comments on YouTube. Hit us up over on social. Just let us know what you thought. And if you enjoyed the episode, make sure to like and subscribe and share it with a friend while you're at it. All of that stuff kind of really helps us out with the algorithm and gets our videos out to more people on good old YouTube. So yeah, that is all for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you guys in another one very soon. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. No, that is not perfect Swedish. I'm just saying, that was Sweden-Norwegish?
Norwegish.
Norwegish.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.